From WGCU News, I'm John Davis. Any longtime reader or listener of News Press storyteller Amy Bennett Williams knows that her rural Alva homestead contains a motley mix of animals, including a donkey, geese, horses, ducks, dogs, chickens, cats, and guinea fowl, to name a few. Perhaps one of the more unusual residents is a goat named Baron, who has both male and female biological markers. Like most of the animals who find their way to the Williams home, Baron is a rescue and doesn't provide much in the way of utility beyond companionship and a charismatic personality. But as Williams tells us in this week's Encore essay, although they don't utilize their animals like a subsistence farmer would, caring for them still provides some important life lessons.
So, have you written about your intersex goat yet? A colleague asked me the other day. No, as a matter of fact, I hadn't yet. But her question raised another. Why have a goat at all? In fact, why have livestock at all? Roger and I are college-educated professional people with more than full-time jobs. The companies for which we work are both within the Fort Myers city limits. Yet we live on a one-lane road in teeny Alva, our 5 acres surrounded on 3 sides by wild woods. Over the years, we've filled those acres with a motley collection that's included a beaten-up donkey, throwaway horses, guinea fowl, geese, ducks, chickens, deaf dogs, half-blind rabbits, cats, and now a goat. More on that later. Mind you, other than one riding mare and Futrell's feed store chicks, we've never actually purchased any of these creatures. They've all been gifts, shelter adoptees, foundlings, or formerly feral. So the "why have livestock?" question would have a perfectly sane answer if we were subsistence farmers with animals as part of an economic strategy. But the critters that call our place home are in no danger of winding up on our dinner table. Utter hypocrisy, since Roger and I have no trouble at all buying chicken at the Winn-Dixie, yet we won't dispatch our own. We've told ourselves caring for animals is character building for the kids, but have never made them follow through, a la 4-H or Future Farmers of America, from start to slaughter. The more I think about it, the more I realize the animals that have filled our kids' lives, the animals I'd hoped would teach them any number of important lessons, have more likely laid bare my character flaws. There's the aforementioned hypocrisy, though we do eat the eggs our poultry produces, then the sheer monetary drain of supporting all those little life forms. Instead of new cars, mani-pedis, or season tickets, we spend almost all our extra cash, and trust me, there ain't much, on animals. The lesson that teaches the kids? An alliterative list of fiscal folly. Feed, fencing, and farriers, catnip and curry combs, vet bills and goat bells. Okay, speaking of the goat, here's the deal. Years ago, in my pre-Alva days, I lived in Buckingham with a small flock of goats, purely utilitarian, of course. The idea was they'd provide supplementary milk for my firstborn. But when Doe Francesca gave birth to triplets, she needed every drop for her own babies, so DP was out of luck. It hardly mattered because the goats were so entertaining. With their pasture gymnastics and acrobatic tree climbing, it was fun just to have them around, utility be damned. They were absolute hell on my aging fences, so when a friend decided she needed a few goats, I was happy to play my part in the giveaway circle, especially because I got to visit them every Sunday. Fast forward a couple of decades to a phone call I got from a dear neighbor asking if we'd like a goat. It wasn't hers. It belonged to another neighbor whose other goats weren't getting along with it, and for everyone's safety, the goat needed a new home. Instead of telling her no, the inn was full, Nash and I went to meet the goat. It was a sweet animal, its owner explained, but its pasture mates didn't know what to make of it, and fights were breaking out. I'm using the pronoun it deliberately and not derisively, because although the sturdy cinnamon and cream animal was outfitted with female reproductive equipment, though no udder, she also had the beard, the brawn, and the musk of a male. She was also missing one ear after tangling with a Rottweiler at a previous home. As the goat delicately nibbled carrot chunks from Nash's hand and let me stroke its luxurious mane, the matter was settled. The lesson? Mom is a pushover. And so the goat Nash, named Baron, but I spell B-A-R-R-E-N, came to live with us. After a clever friend saw the goat's missing ear, he suggested we add Vincent van Goat to the name, which we did. Sometimes we call Baron him, sometimes her, and both feel fine. Baron is just Baron, and we love her. He follows us on long walks through the scrub, goofs around with the dogs, asks us to scratch his head, and sleeps companionably with the horses. Her preferred treats have expanded to include tortilla chips and quince. Baron is of absolutely no economic benefit and is teaching the kids absolutely no life lessons. Unless, as I fervently hope, this qualifies. Help when you can. Don't worry about labels. Open your home to those who need a place and have fun doing it.